This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Bring in the homie, Jason Jones. If the Ricky Starts Giffer is my nemesis on social media, perhaps Jason Jones is your nemesis on social media. Jason Jones minding his own business last night, just trying to watch the Los Angeles Lakers, and Kenny's got to jump in with some take about the 49ers.
I was bothering no one.
See how he behaves. See how he does that. We're not going to do that because on Sunday, I was just talking about how, hey, NFL Sundays without the 49ers is kind of mid, just facing facts. Talking to nobody, just nobody directing, no ads. All of a sudden, the professor hops in there talking about nobody wants to see anybody putting up 10 points.
Just saying. I mean, what, nobody watching football on Sunday going, you know what I missed? That 11-10 game last week.
Mm. We put up 10 points last night?
No. Oh. Y'all own the Rams in the regular season.
Okay.
That's Detroit, Stafford, and everything. You know, I have nothing to say about that. I'm just saying, no. When you got it, when you got Tom Brady playing Patrick Mahomes that night, no one is going, you know what we really need? We really need Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Stafford. No one said that.
Hey, man, I'm just telling you what it is, man. It's NFL Sundays without the Niners. Kind of mid. We'll see what happens this Sunday with the Raiders not playing. Maybe it's just as mid. I don't know. I'm just telling you, when the Niners aren't playing, it is. Maybe it's just as boring when the Raiders aren't playing. I don't know.
No. You don't even like Jimmy. Now you're talking about it's mid when he's not playing.
No, I do like Jimmy. I just don't have any faith in Jimmy. There's a difference.
Oh, okay.
Do you have faith in Derek Carr?
I don't have faith in Josh McDaniels.
Oh, okay.
I have more faith in Derek Carr than I do in Josh McDaniels. I mean, what was that onside kick? What was that about? Like, Denver's been struggling on offense all year. What do we do? Let's put him in midfield just for the hell of it.
Yeah, that was.
It's like he's playing a game of Matt, and he's like, "What's this? Will get him. This will get him." I mean, your defense is not great. Their offense has been struggling, so you're going to put your struggling defense at midfield. Then one long pass during field goal range.
Mm-hmm. But, Jason, like I said a couple weeks ago, for everybody that thinks I'm a Raider hater, which is just false, I pointed it out last week when they were 0-3 and everybody was talking about how the playoffs are done. No, when two teams make the playoffs, no. I said, look, all you need to do is make sure you don't go 0-4. Get this one against Denver. Yeah, you got a tough one against KC. Luckily for you guys, you're getting paid handsomely to go there. But after that, once you collect your $400,000, you can, maybe.
It's, so you can. It's like they're not professionals.
Maybe you can get back on the good foot. And look, by week 7 or 8, with 7 teams that make the playoffs, if you can get to 3-4 or 4-4, whatever the case may be, season's far from over.
No, I didn't think it was over. I was hoping maybe Tom Brady would do me a solid. I'm like, if everyone's 2-2 and you're 1-3, you're right there.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, Tom didn't help me out this time. But you know, I was not on the jump ship. The season's over with the first pick the Raiders select. There's just every game Josh McDaniels makes me go, what are you doing?
Hmm.
Like this not. I understand being a risk. I mean, it's not even logical. Sometimes I'm like, why? Right. Like, even if you're in the camp of Derek Carr can't be trusted, why are you just throwing the ball when you can run sometime? Mm-hmm. They get turnovers. He's like, you know what I'm going to do? If I'm going to drop back seven steps, like Josh Jacobs. I mean, you finally got Josh healthy.
Mm.
He was hurt for like a year and a half, it felt like. Mm-hmm. Run him. Especially when you got a shaky offensive line. Why would you expose them by letting them drop back and letting whoever's rushing the passer hit Derek 10 times a game?
It's not over for the Rams. In all seriousness, I think they got a lot of talent on that team. I'm worried about the secondary, but I think they got pass rushers. Obviously, they got things on the offensive end. There's a lot of talent on that team.
I'm worried about Abram covering anyone.
Hmm.
I would like Chandler Jones to show up at some point and like touch a quarterback, but they got it. I mean, it's not over. I mean, it's never over this early. Usually I always tell people the reason why those stats about 0-2, 0-3, usually those teams are just really bad teams anyway. So mm-hmm. even if they were 3-0, they were going to end up 5-11 or I guess now 5-12. I'm like, those stats just tell you that bad teams normally don't make the playoffs.
Well, those stats should be weighted differently, too, now because there's an extra game. So 0-2 doesn't mean what it used to because there's a whole other game here to be played. I have bigger concerns with the Raiders with the fact that they're stepping in to take on Kansas City on Monday. Like, that's a far greater concern than what they've done, and I don't know that there's a better team in football right now than the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, and they still call Mahomes dad. So I mean, so proven otherwise. I mean,
a lot of people. He got a lot of kids.
Yeah, he Phillip Rivers out there, them. Boy. He got them all.
That game was a couple of years ago where they went out there and beat him, but that's like where Max like broke out and was like unblockable.
That was one of one.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, if they can, you know, get a pass rush, you know, maybe get a turnover or two. I mean, it's not a game where they can't win. Just because the way the NFL is, the talent gap is really close for the most part. Mm-hmm. Even if it comes down to coaching, and then you got, do I trust Josh McDaniels against Andy Reid? Probably not, but hey, take my chances.
Well, let's get to what you were trying to do. Again, Jason Jones, the professor, just minding in his own business last night, trying to watch Kings and Lakers before he's accosted by Kenny Caraway here.
Varsity game is on. Nobody was.
Varsity game was on.
I had Monday Night Raw, that and the preseason game going on. I mean, I knew the Niners and Rams were playing. It wasn't like it was a secret.
Just wasn't all that interesting.
I do need that shirt. I need my name above it because I've been accused of being a heel. So
you are a natural born heel.
What do I do?
That's why.
He's the bad guy who pretends like he's not bad. Like, why are you booing me? I'm an Olympic gold medalist. What are you booing me for? I'm a hero.
Yeah, I mean, what did I ever do? What did I ever do? Then, you know, we hate you. Okay, I guess. It's not my fault I tell you the truth.
you elicit a reaction, and that's all that matters. Jason Jones' name is not really met with silence.
That's all you really want. No, good or bad, you need a reaction.
What was your reaction to the Kings last night? As you were attempting to watch basketball last night, what was your reaction to that Kings-Lakers game?
No, I mean, I pretty much watched the first half because in the second half, it's kind of like, you know. But what jumped out to me about the Kings is that part of it is who they were playing. That the Lakers are a big team. They still look really small.
Mm.
And I wonder how that's going to affect them defensively over the course of the season. I mean, the Lakers are kind of an anomaly because, you know, if they're going to start Damian and AD together, that's – they're going – you know, but I just was like, wow, they look really small still.
Yeah.
And that's one of the – you know, that's one of the areas that's going to be a problem. You know, Sabonis is a good big, but he's not, you know, he's not this big, you know, like 7'1" type center.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder if defensively – they'll have problems just because against the better teams, do they have enough size? But, I mean, I like the fact that De'Aaron was aggressive. I think they can't win this season at all if De'Aaron's passive. So, yeah, to me, the numbers didn't mean as much as just the way they played. And De'Aaron was aggressive, and to me, that's going to be the key to them all year. If De'Aaron's aggressive, you know, they got it. They're going to have a chance most nights if he's playing aggressively.
Yeah. Did you see anything, because it's, you know, been talked about a lot with Mike Brown coming in and the way they have played defense the last few years, did you see anything early on different about this team defensively at all, or was it just too early to tell, really?
It was still early, but they still look bad. I mean, that first quarter, I mean,
the first unit did, yeah.
Russ was just like, bye, let me get to the rim real quick. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, and that's what I mean. You know, you can scheme all you want. At some point, the guys you have to do something. Mm. Or you got to get different guys. So I just wonder if they have enough just defensively. I mean, are we going to have another year of, hey, Harrison, how many guys can you guard? You know, because I think it's not a knock to say that Sabonis is not known for being a great defender. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think either one of their options at two guard right now is known for shutting anyone down. And De'Aaron can be when he wants to be. And it's kind of been hit or miss with De'Aaron on that end. So, I'm not going to throw a whole lot into the first preseason game. Guys are still learning things, figuring things out. But at some point, we got to see, we've talked about scheme. As a couple coaches have always told me, there's only so many schemes you can run. You know, you can have whatever your preferred philosophy is, you know, but at some point you got to have guys who can do it. So I want to see just in terms of the lineups, you know, how do they decide to go with the four? What do they do there? I mean, there's going to be a lot to be decided before you know exactly what they're going to be defensively, but I'm not going to hit the panic button because they had a rough 8 minutes to start a preseason game.
I thought the biggest surprise, and James Hamm mentioned this earlier, we've really been talking about it throughout the day, is how much Keegan Murray played at the three. We've been so conditioned to Keegan Murray is the four, but he played a lot of three with that second unit, and that's where he got a lot of those points that he got. I think he was 7 of 11 on the day.
Yeah.
He got a lot of those at the three spot, and it's like, man, we really conditioned ourselves that and I don't remember if Keegan was the birth of the 4-3-3-4 in the way we talk about guys where we put the primary number first and then the secondary number second, but it felt like with Keegan it was always 4-3, and we saw a lot of him playing three last night.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is too is that if you're looking at if they're going to play those, say, Keegan and Harrison together, I don't know if it even matters what you call them. Mm-hmm. I just call them the forwards. Mm-hmm. Because even with KZ out there, that's another 6'8 guy.
Right.
You know, that's not like a four. So, I mean, I just don't think in terms of that position, they don't have, outside of Mezzi, you don't have a lengthy defensive type guy out there. And that, to me, that's what they really need next to Sabonis. Unless you're going to, I don't think you're going to play Rashawn next to Sabonis. Mm-hmm. And even then, Rashawn is still a smaller guy on the smaller end of bigs. He's still in that 6'8", 6'9"-ish range.
Right.
So I just think the way I'm looking at them, they're going to have two forwards. I don't know if it really matters what you call them, because I can see whoever the tougher matchup is defensively, that's who Harrison will be on, whether he's a bigger guy or a smaller. If it's a dynamic, if you're playing, I don't know, say a Brooklyn and they go with a Simmons, Durant, you're going to put Harrison on Durant. And if it's Keegan, you're going to put him on Ben Simmons. It's just, you're going to ask Harrison to guard the more, the bigger threat of the front court players.
Right. Keegan and Harrison did play together along with Davion Sabonis and Fox for about a minute and some change.
Yeah, it was like a little
before the Rashawn and the rest of the unit came in, the rest of the second unit came in.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, we're going to see Mike doing a lot of what the other coaches have done for, 15, 16 years, searching. Yeah. Can you find that right mix defensively just to give them a chance, because they're going to be able to score. They got plenty of guys who can score. I mean, and it's just going to be a matter of who can defend. And the way I look at them right now, two of their better defensive options are both on the smaller end, Davion and Terrence. Mm-hmm. That doesn't help you against LeBron. That doesn't help you against a KD, help you get a guy like a Steph or, a smaller guy, but Harrison's going to need some help at some point. And it's not fair to ask a rookie as good as Keegan has been thus far, to ask a rookie defensively to be that guy is asking a lot.
Yeah, I agree. Do you – there's been some discussion about the roster and the depth that's on the roster. And obviously when you talk about you taking it to the highest of the highs, like the Warriors, I don't think they have depth like that coming off the bench. But just the average run-of-the-mill NBA team this year, I think when you talk about Malik Monk, when you potentially talk about Keegan Murray or Rashawn Holmes, Davion Mitchell – I think they got some depth to this Kings roster. Do you agree, or do you look at it as it's not as good as maybe Kings fans are thinking right now?
I think it's better than what they've had. I mean, you're not in a situation where you're going, I've got 5 or 6.5 rotation players. Mm-hmm. You're going, okay, here's my five, here's my bench guy, and then I'm just kind of going pulling straws every night. I think you have a legit – you can go legit 8-9-man rotation. Now, if the debate is that rotation as good as a Warriors or a Clippers or a Phoenix or whatever going on in Phoenix, that might change. But, you know, if you're talking about that, they're not up there, no. But, I mean, I think if you're bringing say if you used last night, if you're bringing Keegan Murray, Rashawn Holmes, Davion Mitchell, and Malik Monk off the bench, that's not bad. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of years ago, at least two of those guys are starters. So to me, that's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, it's relative to, you know, where you're trying to be in the West and everything. And no, you can't get caught up in, well, are they as deep as the Clippers? No. But this is better than what they've had. So you've got at least a fighting chance to, you know, make something happen with, you know, and, you know, in that lower half or the bottom half of the West, so to speak, not the bottom, but, you know, that, mm-hmm. that 8-10 range, you got a chance now. And before, you know, it was a matter of if you sat one or two guys down, it was like, we're in for a long one. And even whenever they had long stretches of success, and when I say long, I mean 7-10 games, those are usually stretches where, say, a Luke Walton was playing his starters way too many minutes to cover up for those gaps right. where, you know, normally you would, you know, maybe sit De'Aaron at the 8-minute mark. You're playing De'Aaron to the 10-minute mark to say, you know, to steal a couple of minutes. So you don't have to go with, say, 7 minutes of Corey Joseph. You go to 7-5. So they were trying to mix and match, but every coach would tell you that's only sustainable for so long. To me, that's the reason why you see at the end of the year, a couple of years ago, Harrison Barnes kind of getting hurt. And he would never say it publicly, but the talk privately was Harrison's just breaking down because we've run him into the ground all year. Mm-hmm. And I think now you're in a situation where maybe you can get a more of a normal rotation where you're not asking guys. You can get from 30 to 34 instead of 34 to 38. I mean, my God, how many minutes did Buddy Hield play in the last few years where people said there's no reason Buddy should be playing that many minutes?
All of them. Yeah. Literally all of them. There's no reason he should be playing any of these minutes.
It's a shot.
Any of them.
And then the question becomes, who do you play? You know. Yeah. So now you can slot. So I think the depth will help them over the course of a year because I don't think you worry about De'Aaron, you know, playing too many minutes and all that because now you can slot guys a little differently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of, is Lakers any better in that regard? Is this team still feels slim and you're going to be relying heavily on LeBron, Anthony Davis, and probably Russell Westbrook?
I still say if they at least get a healthy season out of those guys, they'll make the playoffs. I mean, it's to me, you know, I mean, I know it's fashionable to make fun of how they were last year, but we can't pretend like AD didn't miss most of the season and LeBron didn't miss like 35 games. Mm-hmm. I mean, that, you know, would they have been a good team still? No.
It didn't feel like it.
It was clear that Russell Westbrook was not a fan of Frank Vogel.
Yeah.
It was quite clear. And like I said, they were my least favorite Laker team of all time just because they played like they didn't give a damn. Hmm. And that's why I was like, they should have just went in there and put Frank out of his misery and fired him in like December or January. Those guys didn't care. And once they realized they weren't going to be like a title contender, they really packed it in. So I think they'll be better because they'll at least care. And if they have some health, I think they'll be in the playoffs, and then it comes. And if you're them, it comes down to can you beat LeBron? You know, assuming that LeBron doesn't, you know, tail off a lot this year, and that AD's healthy, can you beat those two guys four times? And I think if you're going into a series, that's still going to be daunting, but they got to get there. I mean, I'm by no means watched the first quarter and, like, no, popped any champagne last night saying, yay, they're fixed. But I think having some energy guys like a Pat Bev is going to help them. You know, I think just getting some guys who aren't 40 is going to help them too.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they'll be better provided they're healthy, and then – you know, Russ comes off the books, and then we can start the Kyrie watch in L.A. Oh, shit. which is just like, God, I mean, damn. Kyrie does so many nice things, and then he goes and posts those dumb videos that he shit. It's just like
Kyrie West. Yeah.
It's cool. You know, I don't know what to make of him sometime.
Yeah. The professor, Jason Jones.
Real quick, while the professor is here.
Oh, Lord.
You know.
You leave this man alone.
No. Names are on the dotted line. So I guess we can let the people know.
Oh, yeah.
The vibes are back. J Street Vibes officially back. Let me get some air horns for that one because the people, they need to know. I've been waiting. J Street Vibes is back. My man, Jason Jones, Kenny Caraway, coming to Odyssey Podcast Network near you.
We can argue about the Niners on a podcast. We can, you know, it won't be any Kings. It'll just be arguing about the Niners.
Yeah, and last time we were talking about the Niners.
It'll be fun this time of year, too, because we got the playoffs, at least for baseball. I got baseball playoffs. So
as long as Jason gets to drink.
About 2 weeks, bro.
Because y'all doing like 9 episodes a week, right? Is that what Danny talked you into, like 9 episodes a week? As long as Jason can drink on at least one of them. I'm all in on the return of J Street Vibes.
I promise to do that. You know, if I got a sponsor, you know, we got somebody's name behind it, I will drink that every episode if you want.
Hey, got to keep the client happy.
You know, they talk about like Big E on, I think it was Long Kiss Goodnight, where they're like, yo, it never made the album, but. Yo, he just went off on Tupac on that. Is that what the song is? Long Kiss Goodnight?
Long Kiss Goodnight, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he just went crazy, but you know, you'll never hear it because they never put it out.
Put enough out on that song where it was like,
laugh now, cry later. I rhyme greater than the average. True. Yeah, we're not dumb.
The night the Dodgers won the World Series, Jason Jones had a biggie before Long Kiss Goodnight.
I will not lie. I mean, I woke up the next day like, I hope I didn't say anything. Because I was on one, and let them win this year. Oh yeah, it'll be even worse.
Oh man, that's great stuff. Well, happy to hear that the vibes are back. J Street Vibes are back. Jason, we appreciate you, brother. Thanks as always.
Always. See you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.